Welcome to today's deep dive. So our mission today for you, the listener, is actually pretty simple. We're exploring what really might be the holy grail of real estate investing.
Which is actually getting your money out once you've put it in.
Exactly. Yeah, getting it back out. And we're pulling our insights directly from a Gamma blog post today. It's titled 5, Secondary Markets for Property Tokens, How Investors Exit Tokenized Real Estate.
It's a great piece. Really digs into the mechanics of it all.
Yeah, it does. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Investing in traditional real estate is historically a lot like getting married to a building.
That is, yeah, that's a very accurate way to put it.
Right. Like, yeah. It's fantastic for long-term stability. You build a portfolio around it. And there's a lot of comfort in that solid physical presence. But if your life circumstances suddenly change, you know, and you need cash immediately.
It's a terrible arrangement.
It really is. You can't just neatly divorce, say, 10% of an office building to pay for a sudden medical expense or fund a new business venture. You are locked in.
You're completely locked in. You're basically trading liquidity for stability. And for centuries, honestly, that's just been the accepted cost of entry into the property market.
Right.
It's a highly illiquid asset class by design. I mean, the entire traditional system, from the banks to the brokers to the title companies, the whole thing is built around the assumption that you are going to hold that asset for years, if not decades.
And that's exactly why tokenized real estate is generating so much noise right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole premise here is that chopping up a property into digital tokens acts as this potential escape hatch from that restrictive marriage to a physical building.
That's the promise, yeah.
But of course, we need to figure out if that escape hatch actually leads to a functioning market or if it's just, you know, a painted door on a brick wall.
Right, which is a big distinction.
So before we get into the actual mechanics of these secondary markets, let's just look at the friction they're trying to solve. Because usually you buy a building, you rely on rental income, wait for the neighborhood to improve, and just hope for long-term value appreciation.
Yeah, and when you finally decide to realize those gains, selling that physical building involves just a massive, exhausting orchestration of events.
Oh, yeah. The paperwork alone.
Exactly. You have complex legal processes, title searches, escrows, physical inspections, and just agonizing negotiations.
Yeah.
Not to mention you have to find a single buyer who wants that exact property in that exact location and actually has the significant capital required to purchase it outright.
Which is rare.
Very rare. That friction is what keeps the market moving at a glacial pace. It can take months, sometimes literally years, to go from deciding to sell to actually having the cash in your bank account.
Right. Which brings us to tokenization.
Yeah.
So the source material explains that tokenized real estate introduces these digital investment units that are directly linked to a property asset.
Right.
So instead of buying the whole building, you buy tokens representing a fraction of it. And the analogy I like to use here, think of traditional real estate as a massive block of ice.
Okay, I like that.
Right? It's heavy, it's incredibly hard to move, and it takes absolutely forever to melt down into liquid, which, you know, in our case is usable cash.
Liquid cash.
Exactly. So tokenization comes along and chops that massive block of ice into 1,000 little ice cubes.
Hmm.
It mathematically makes it much easier to handle and lowers the barrier to entry for smaller investors.
It does. It democratizes it.
But, and here's where I really have to push back on the hype a bit, just because I have my investment chopped up into digital ice cubes, that doesn't mean anyone actually wants to buy them from me.
That is the crucial point.
Like, I might just be holding a handful of melting ice. So how do I actually turn these tokens back into cash?
Well, that's the multi-million dollar question, isn't it? And it's the central hurdle that the Gamma post addresses. Chopping up the asset only solves half the problem.
Okay.
The other half is creating the venue where those pieces can be traded efficiently. And that leads us directly to the critical distinction between primary and secondary markets in this whole digital ecosystem.
Right. So I assume this functions similarly to the stock market or, you know, traditional alternative trading system.
Exactly like that. Yeah.
So the platform minting the token and selling it to the initial investors, that's essentially the IPO, right? The primary market.
You nailed it. The primary market is just the origination. A platform acquires an asset, they tokenize it, and they sell it to the initial group of investors.
But the real liquidity, the actual ability to cash out, that only happens once those tokens hit an exchange where investors can trade amongst themselves. Is that where these property tokens are heading?
That's the blueprint, yes. The secondary market is where the ecosystem actually comes alive.
Okay.
It's where investors buy and sell existing tokens with other participants, and they can do this without having to wait for the physical property to be sold or for a development project to finish.
It's kind of like a concert ticket.
How so?
Well, buying from the box office when the tickets drop, that's the primary market. But if you suddenly can't go to the show and you sell it to a friend or on a ticket exchange, that's the secondary market.
That's a perfect way to look at it, yes.
Which is distinctly different from, say, buying into a traditional REIT, right?
Right.
A real estate investment trust. Because with a REIT, I mean, I'm buying shares in a massive corporate entity that manages a whole basket of property.
Or a whole portfolio.
Yeah, and I don't get to choose which buildings I own, and the share price is really tied to the company's overall management and just general market sentiment.
Exactly.
But with a property token, I'm holding a direct fractional interest in one specific asset, right?
Exactly, the distinction to make. You have direct asset correlation. And because you have that direct correlation, the secondary market unlocks something completely revolutionary for real estate.
Which is?
Real-time price discovery.
Oh, okay. Let's dig into price discovery, sure. Because this is where the traditional real estate model looks just incredibly outdated.
It really does.
So if I'm selling my digital fraction of an office building on one of these secondary platforms, does the price fluctuate minute by minute based on an order book? Like establishing a real-time value for an asset that used to be completely static.
It does. I mean, think about how backward-looking traditional appraisals actually are.
Oh, they're terrible.
Right. An appraiser comes in with a clipboard, they look at past sales of similar properties, the comps, and they make an educated guess about what your building is worth today.
Based on what happened 6 months ago.
Exactly. That process inherently lags behind reality. If a major employer moves into a neighborhood on a Tuesday, traditional property values might not officially reflect that economic boost for 6 months until new sales close and get recorded.
Wow, yeah. But in a functioning secondary market for property tokens, the order book reacts instantly.
Instantly.
If 1,000 investors suddenly want exposure to that specific neighborhood because of the new employer, they start bidding up the tokens right then.
Yes. The trading activity itself establishes a transparent, real-time price based on what the market is willing to pay at this exact second.
That is wild to think about.
And that real-time feedback loop fundamentally changes how investors can manage risk. You aren't flying blind between annual appraisals anymore. You can see exactly how the market values your asset day by day, hour by hour.
Okay, establishing a real-time price sounds amazing in theory, but theory doesn't stop someone from selling the same digital token twice.
Right.
If we're bypassing traditional title companies, expensive lawyers, and escrow agents, basically the people whose entire job is to verify ownership, what is actually stopping fraud in this environment?
That's a fair question.
Because I'm picturing myself trying to sell my digital property token to an anonymous buyer on the internet, and honestly, the mechanics of that sound a bit sketchy. How does this swap occur securely without a middleman holding the funds?
So this is where we have to look under the hood at the technological infrastructure of these digital trading platforms.
Okay, let's pop the hood.
The mechanism solving that trust issue is the smart contract, which operates on distributed ledger technology, typically a blockchain.
So break down the mechanism for me. How does a smart contract actually replace a human escrow agent?
Well, a smart contract is just self-executing code. It operates on strict if-then logic.
Okay.
Let's say you want to sell your token for $1,000 and a buyer wants to purchase it. In the traditional world, you'd both hand your assets to a third party, pay them a fee, and wait for them to verify everything before they release the funds and the deed.
Yeah, which takes days.
Exactly. On a digital trading platform, the smart contract handles what's called an atomic swap.
An atomic swap, meaning it happens all at once or doesn't happen at all.
Precisely. The code dictates that the instant the buyer's funds hit the contract, your token is simultaneously released to their wallet.
Oh, wow.
There is zero counterparty risk. You can't take their money and run without sending the token, and they can't get your token without sending the money.
It's locked in together.
Exactly. Furthermore, because the ledger is an immutable, mathematically verifiable record distributed across a network, it's virtually impossible for you to sell a token you don't actually own or to double spend it. The network simply rejects the transaction.
Okay, that makes sense from a purely transactional standpoint, like a highly secure digital bulletin board.
Yeah, that's a good way to picture it.
But I have to bring up the elephant in the room here.
Let's hear it.
When most people hear the word blockchain, they instantly think of the anonymous Wild West.
Sure, yeah. Dogecoin and all that.
Right. We think of unregulated crypto exchanges, meme coins, and people hiding behind pseudonyms. But the sources we're pulling from explicitly emphasize compliance procedures.
They do, heavily.
They talk about identity verification and regulatory requirements. How does a seemingly permissionless technology enforce strict financial regulations?
Well, it enforces it by not being completely permissionless. This is where tokenized real estate drastically diverges from the broader crypto market.
Okay, how so?
Property tokens represent real physical securities. They fall under the jurisdiction of the SEC in the US or the FCA in the UK and so on.
Right, they're regulated assets.
Exactly. Therefore, the platforms facilitating these secondary markets have to implement Know Your Customer or KYC and anti-money laundering procedures.
So it's not just a matter of checking a box when you sign up for the website.
Mm.
The compliance is actually deeper than that, isn't it?
Much deeper. Platforms can actually code compliance directly into the token's smart contract.
Wait, really? Into the token itself?
Yes. For example, the token can be programmed so that it physically cannot be transferred to a digital wallet that hasn't passed a KYC check.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So if an anonymous user tries to buy your property token, the smart contract queries a whitelist of verified identities. If that buyer's wallet isn't on the list, the transaction just fails.
Wow.
It's a highly scrutinized, transparent environment that leverages blockchain for efficiency, not for anonymity.
Well, okay. A highly regulated, technologically bulletproof marketplace sounds perfect on paper. The atomic swaps work, the ownership is verified, and the regulators are happy.
Sounds great, right?
It does. But having a functional marketplace doesn't actually guarantee a successful sale.
Sure.
Which brings us to the immediate reality check these secondary markets face. Because a perfect infrastructure does not equal a perfect market.
It absolutely doesn't. You can have the most elegant smart contracts in the world, but if there's no liquidity, the entire value proposition collapses.
I look at it like the ghost town mall scenario.
Ghost town mall.
Yeah, like you can build the most high-tech, compliant, architecturally stunning shopping mall in the world. The escalators are smooth, the security is flawless, the storefronts are beautiful. But if no shoppers actually walk through the doors, those stores are going out of business.
That is, yeah, that's spot on.
And the Gamma blog post is very clear on this. Liquidity is not guaranteed. A market only functions if there are active buyers willing to purchase exactly when you want to sell.
And this is the biggest hurdle the industry is facing right now, market participation. For a secondary market to feel truly liquid, you need a massive, critical mass of active traders.
Right.
You need tight bid-ask spreads. If you list your tokens and there are only 50 other people active on the platform, and none of them want to buy a fraction of a commercial warehouse in Chicago on that specific Tuesday, you are stuck holding your tokens.
Which means I'm right back where I started with traditional real estate, except now I'm stuck with digital ice cubes instead of a physical brick wall.
Yes. And the challenge of building that critical mass is compounded by regulatory fragmentation. Because we establish that these tokens are regulated securities, cross-border trading becomes a massive headache.
Oh, right, because a token issued under U.S. securities law can't just seamlessly be sold to a retail investor in Germany without navigating European financial regulations.
Exactly. Different jurisdictions have highly complex, often conflicting rules regarding digital assets.
So it blocks trades.
Yeah, a platform might have a willing buyer in one country and a willing seller in another, but the smart contract might block the trade because of jurisdictional restrictions. This artificially shrinks your pool of potential buyers and keeps that mall pretty empty.
Man, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
And what about the investors themselves? It feels like we're dealing with two completely different demographics that just don't speak the same language.
The education gap is the third major challenge here. Tokenized real estate requires a hybrid understanding. Traditional real estate investors know how to read rent rolls, calculate cap rates, and evaluate property management teams.
Right.
But they might be deeply intimidated by digital wallets, private keys, and blockchain explorers.
Oh, absolutely. Meanwhile, the crypto native investors understand atomic swaps and smart contracts perfectly.
Mm.
But they might not know the first thing about zoning laws, tenant turnover, or, you know, how to value a commercial lease.
Precisely. For these secondary markets to thrive, the industry desperately needs to bridge that gap. They have to attract the capital of the traditional real estate world and the technological fluency of the digital asset world.
So we have the fear of the ghost town mall, we have incredibly complicated cross-border regulations, and we have a massive education gap between two investor classes.
That's a lot to overcome.
It is. Because of these serious hurdles, we're starting to see the evolution of specific platforms designed to simplify this entire landscape for the average investor.
Right.
I mean, if the raw technology is too intimidating, someone is going to build a user-friendly wrapper around it.
That's the natural progression of any new technology, really.
Hmm.
We are seeing structured platforms emerge that provide an accessible starting point.
Hmm.
They're designed for investors who want the benefits of tokenization, the lower barrier to entry, and the potential for secondary market liquidity, but who want a straightforward approach without having to become, you know, blockchain engineers.
Hmm. Right. And the source material specifically spotlights a platform called Osol Gamma. From what I gather, it focuses on giving access to real estate-backed opportunities through a highly simplified digital interface.
It does.
It basically removes the friction of having to directly purchase, manage, or legally structure the property yourself.
It does. And the way platforms like Osol Gamma are trying to solve that ghost town mall problem is by focusing fiercely on traditional real estate fundamentals.
Which is what people actually care about.
Exactly. They aren't trying to sell the hype of blockchain. They are selling the underlying asset. They curate opportunities based on asset quality, reliable rental demand, and professional property management.
It's kind of like the difference between a high-end curated art gallery and the giant, chaotic, open bazaar of the wider internet.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Like, the open crypto market is the bazaar. You can buy anything, but you have to authenticate the smart contract yourself, worry about getting scammed, and manually check the liquidity pool.
Which is exhausting.
Yeah. But platforms like Osol Gamma seem to be acting like the curated gallery. They do the due diligence, select the high-quality real estate, handle all the complex compliance coding in the background, and just let you browse a clean, well-lit space.
That curated experience is vital for mass adoption. The technology has to become invisible to the end user. When you turn on a light switch, you don't need to understand the electrical grid, the voltage, or the transformers, right?
No, you just want the room to light up.
Exactly. For tokenized real estate to achieve that critical mass, the platforms have to abstract the complexity. Investors want the flexibility to exit a position, but they want to base their core investment decisions on the tangible reality of the property.
Right. I don't want to look at hash rates and ledger protocols.
Why?
I want to look at bricks, mortar, and monthly yield.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Let's bring this all together. The ultimate goal of real estate investing has always been this seemingly impossible balancing act.
It has.
You want the stability and the steady, inflation-resistant income of a physical property, but you also want the flexibility to adjust your portfolio when your life changes. And for generations, you just had to choose. You bought stocks for liquidity, and you bought property for stability.
But secondary token markets are the infrastructure actively trying to connect those two worlds. They are taking the massive, unmovable asset, fractionalizing it, and building the secure, regulated environments where those fractions can be traded.
It's clearly not perfect yet. As we've seen, liquidity is goal right now, not a guarantee. The market is still searching for its critical mass of participants, and the regulatory tape is, well, it's thick.
Very thick.
But the foundational plumbing is being laid down right now by platforms prioritizing accessibility, which leaves us with a final massive implication to chew on.
Oh, this is the best part.
We talked earlier about price discovery, how the real-time trading of tokens tells us what an asset is worth right now, rather than waiting 6 months for an appraisal.
The shift from backward-looking guesses to real-time market reality.
Well, just imagine the second-order effects of that shift. If these secondary token markets become massive and highly liquid, imagine millions of participants trading fractions of commercial buildings globally, 247.
The volume would be insane.
Right. So could the fast-paced, real-time trading price of those digital tokens eventually become so dominant that it dictates the value of the physical brick-and-mortar building itself?
It's entirely possible, and it would completely reverse how the financial system views real estate. Yeah. Right now, the physical building dictates the price of the token. But in a fully liquid future, the token market would dictate the price of the physical building.
Think about what that does to a bank trying to underwrite a mortgage. How does a bank issue a 30-year commercial loan on an office tower when they can see on a public ledger that the building's tokenized value just plummeted 15% overnight because a major tenant broke a lease?
They'd have to rethink their entire risk model.
Exactly. Or how does the city assess property taxes if the building's value is constantly fluctuating on a secondary exchange based on global market sentiment?
It introduces stock market level volatility to the most historically stable asset class on Earth. It changes the entire paradigm of how debt is structured and how cities plan their revenue.
It's the digital tail wagging the physical dog. It's an incredible concept to keep an eye on, because if they solve the liquidity problem, these digital markets aren't just going to change how we invest. They might soon rewrite the economic rules of our physical cities. It looks like that historical marriage to a building might finally be getting a modern, highly liquid prenuptial agreement. Thank you for joining us on this exploration, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.